Now, when you get behind the wheel of whatever it is that you're driving, if you don't have a sense of direction and planned destination, you know, you're pretty much spinning your wheels, aren't you? Life operates just that same way. Now, while some see that as the obvious, others drift along looking for the easy way, winding up unaware, unfulfilled, and a whole bunch of other runs. My next guest is an actor and Marine veteran whose personal path to accomplishments and achievements are the basis for his new book that I think will help you with, as he would like to probably call it, your major malfunctions. Here to share Gunny's rules, how to get squared away like a Marine, is R. Lee Ermey, otherwise known as the Gunny. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris. The motivation for the book was I looked around society and I grew up in the 40s, 50s, and I looked around society and I've been watching it for years go down and down and downhill, and finally it's getting towards the bottom, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe somebody needs to sound the alarm here so that Americans can get back on their feet, and maybe we can save this country if it's not too late, you know. And I'm talking, and I can remember when I was a kid that we started our day with the pledge.
Right.
You know, I'm a Methodist, and I don't care if you're a Buddhist, a Catholic, a Hindu, Muslim, heck, I don't care. Matter of fact, when I travel a lot, when I get to Japan, I can't wait to rub Buddha's belly. You know, I think that I respect everybody's religion. We put it that way, and I just can't believe that there are some people in this world that are so thin-skinned that something like us Americans saying the Pledge of Allegiance with just because the word God is in there, that it would bother them so bad. And I can't believe that on the other hand, we've got the Muslim religion, which is a fine religion, and I respect the Muslim religion, but then we've got the radicals that think that Muhammad told them to go and murder everybody that's not a Christian. They'd go murder all the infidels. Where are we taking this here today, you know?
Well, that's part of the whole spirit of your book, Gunny's Rules, because, like you're saying, everyone's looking out toward everyone else saying, hey, don't do that, don't stop that, you're bothering me with that. And you write that if you take a look at yourself and, well, first and foremost, you need to know what the heck you want out of your life first and find your direction, you got a whole better path for yourself.
Yeah, and I look at our children. I mean, good Lord, man, we are neutering our boy children. Why are we allowing this to happen? You know, we won't let them stand up or defend themselves. We've got this bullying problem now. We never had a bullying problem when we were a kid. Gosh, I wonder why. Maybe it's because the minute somebody started bullying you, you'd punch them in the snot locker. You'd protect yourself. I call it self-defense. And when that bully would pick himself up off the ground, he would never, ever come back and bully you again. Well, now these kids are, if they defend themselves, right away they're the villain because they've defended themselves. And if you don't, you know as well as I do, that bully keeps coming back and he gets bolder and braver. And next thing you know, we got some young 10 or 12 year old kid committing suicide because he's been bullied.
Right.
And why don't we teach our children to stand up for what's right? Well, I guess it's because the government won't stand up for what's right. We've, in the past, I don't know how many years here, we've been going to different countries and apologizing for America. I can't believe they've done that, you know? But anyway, main thing is we're raising a bunch of passive little pussycats for boys, and that's an ugly thing. Everyone's a winner. That's another thing.
Well, I was going to say that too.
My butt is. I had a buddy of mine that volunteered to coach the girls' soccer team.
Right.
The girls, 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever they were, little girls, and those girls worked so hard. He had those girls out there doing push-ups and running laps, and those girls practiced every Saturday. Boy, they didn't miss practice. If they did, he would rag on them. But he turned a group of girls into a really heck of a good soccer-playing machine is what he did. Well, the first game of the season, this girl, his girls were 3 points, three goals ahead. And the principal of the school came over and told him to tell his girls to back down, let the other kids get a goal. How do you tell your girls, how do you tell your team that, for Christ's sake? That's impossible. You know, it's like nothing earned, always given away.
Well, everyone gets...
Why put out any effort? That's the way the kids are looking at it, you know, and they take that into life with them, and they say, they look around the workplace, here old Bobby is over there busting his butt. I'm not going to do that, and why should I be on time for work, and why should I really work that hard when I'm here? I'm going to get the same paycheck as old Bobby does over there busting his ass. But the problem with that is, you know, what message are we sending? We're sending that, why should the soccer team even show up anymore? Why don't we just mail them the trophy?
Or dismantle the scoreboard. Why, you know, we can do that maybe.
I suppose we could, you know, or why do we even have a score place or a goal? We could just get out there and kick the ball back and forth.
Yeah, that's not exactly getting kids ready for the reality. We're talking with Arlie Ermey, the Gunny. Gunny's Rules, how to get squared away like a Marine. You can learn more at arlieermey.com, and you'll listen to Issues and Ideas. Your book, along with the lessons and the stories that you share from Full Metal Jacket, and we're going to get into Stanley Kubrick for a second in a moment, too. But
sure.
Just the idea of... One of the ideas that you have is to watch and learn from the successful people, not to imitate them, but to learn and, I guess the word is, emulate them, because if someone's getting it done, they got information, they've got knowledge, they got a better path than you've got, so what, you know, who better to follow?
Yeah, and after a while, you do that long enough, like the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps saved my life, basically, because I was heading down the wrong road. And the Marine Corps stepped up to the plate and saved my bacon, but the Marine Corps does it the right way. I mean, you go in, you're a private, you have zero responsibility. You have somebody that tells you to do whatever you're to do that day. They lead you to the deal, to the water, and they explain to you how to drink it, and they help you drink it. But when you've grown enough, physically and mentally, you become a PFC, a private first class, and you're in that rank, and they have certain jobs for that rank, you know, and you get up to a certain point where you've accomplished all those missions, and wow, next thing you know, you're being promoted to Lance Corporal. Well, the thing is, the Marine Corps is teaching you how to evolve into a leader. I mean, by the time you are a corporal, which is the fourth step up, you are considered a leader. And, of course, the top pay grade, which would be sergeant's major, you know, they retire out of the Marine Corps after 30 years of service. They are leader el primo. And, matter of fact, none of them ever leave the Marine Corps that I knew, that I've ever known, that don't already have a job with some big corporation. Because the big corporations are looking for these guys because they're leadership el primo, you know?
Sure.
And so I would recommend that this young kid that thinks he wants to stay on mom and daddy's insurance policy until he's 26, I think, and he thinks that's free, of course. He doesn't realize that mom and dad's insurance policy price just went up because of that. But he needs to divorce himself away from that insurance policy and living at home with mom. And he needs to do something for himself. Go in the Marine Corps. Go in the Air Force. Go in the Coast Guard. It doesn't make any difference. Go into any branch of the five that we have, and they are going to start you a resume. You give our country four years of service, and you will have a resume to die for when you get out of that service, and you will also have a trade because they will teach you a trade. Marine Corps doesn't just have people that go and fight and kill. They and win wars. They actually have for every one man in the battlefield, we have something like 15 in the rear. And those people are supply. They learn how to handle logistics. They are airplane mechanics. They are airplane crew chiefs. They are airplane pilots. They are O-1s, which are type clerk typists, and they run the offices. My goodness, we have diesel truck mechanics. I mean, there's anything in civilian life that you can find that in the military. So they need to teach you. They need to train you. And trust me, when you get out of the military, you're a very trained person, and your resume goes right to the top of the pile. Why? Because you didn't get your you didn't work at McDonald's. You worked for the United States of America. Although, and people have a lot of respect for that.
Although even working at McDonald's, you can start as a burger flipper, and you follow the path to shift manager, to store manager, to franchise owner. So really it's a matter, again, what we have to wrap up here with about a minute left, Gani, but you're right about preparation, and you being prepared is what helped you get your foot in the door further into your career transition from the military into acting. You score points with a legend like Stanley Kubrick, and that feeds, you know, networking. I mean, it's really simple acts for you, for yourself, can open the doors you need to make a stronger, better self.
And I think the most important point that I really want to make, Chris, is get the heck off welfare. If you are an able-bodied person and you're 30, 40 years old and you're on welfare for more than a year, I consider you a thief. I consider you the lowest form of life on earth. You are the guy that would steal out of the church plate when it comes past. Welfare was designed for disabled people, and that's where, when it came into existence, that's the way it was sold to us. Well, we need to have this program that will look after the disabled in this country. So if you're a able-bodied person and you're on welfare, you're a thief. You're stealing food and money out of the mouths of disabled people. So you should not be proud of yourself. I'm thinking, Chris, that lazy is our new disabled these days.
Lazy and morbidly obese, too, which something else Gani writes about, too, as far as if you don't care about yourself, others aren't going to care about you. And it's just really, you know, you heard him here, and he doesn't pussyfoot around. He cuts to the chase, and he brings about the facts of the matter about yourself, and really just looking at your reality and what you need to do and have to do to get things right for yourself and take care of your situation, both for yourself and your family. And you know what? You're going to have fun doing it, too, strangely enough, because when you get to that destination, you got a better self, a better situation, more stability financially, emotionally, a whole bunch of other great things. You got your direction, and if you need it, a little fine-tuning, Gani's rules, how to get squared away like a Marine, is going to do it for you because, like I said, he's honest, he gets to you, and he wants to make sure that you get it done just like he's gotten it done with his life. ArleeErmy.com on the web. Gani, thanks for being here. Thanks for helping us get ourselves straight.
And I appreciate you sharing your airtime with me, Chris. And there is one thing that nobody can accuse me of, and that's being politically correct.
That's why we love you, Gani. Thanks again.
Semper Fi. Have a wonderful day, everybody out there. Hoorah.